And today I'm joined by Merima and Karen. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Woo, there's Merima. How are you guys today?
Glad to be back.
I know, Karen, we've missed you, but you've been off having, like, fun adventures at the Wizarding World convention or whatever you were
doing,
right?
Yeah, that was great. I saw Melissa Marr. That was really exciting.
That's very cool. Was she signing books there, or was she talking on a panel?
She was talking on a panel. At the end, she signed some books, but she was talking about writing and world building, and she is such a great speaker and so interesting, and I've read quite a few of her books, and I want to pick up some of the other ones because I really like her.
Very cool. All right, so this episode's going to be kind of a little bit of a mixed bag. We have lots of different things to talk about. We're going to talk about the Time Top 100 YA book list that came out. I find it very entertaining for lots of reasons, which we'll get to. We're also going to talk about book promotions, what we like, what we don't like, what we to see, and we'll talk about the latest deals that just came out this week because there are some really interesting ones in there. But first, as always, we're going to start off with what we've been reading. So Karen, as you've been absent, why don't you go ahead and fill us in on what you've been reading?
Okay, something a little bit different for me this time. I've been pretty busy, so I haven't had a lot of time to pick up novels, but I've been reading several comic books, which is fun. I read Hawkeye 1 and 2, so My Life as a Weapon and Little Hits, that's by Matt Fraction, and that one's sort of making a big buzz right now, and of course, if anybody out there knows Danya, you'll know that she's obsessed with Hawkeye, and so that's why I decided to pick it up as one of my first comic books. Iron Man was first, of course, but it was really good. The art's really sort of subtle, but there's a lot of expression in it, and the writing is just really funny. Hawkeye is kind of a hilarious dude. And then I decided to jump over to the other camp, so not Marvel, but DC, and I read Wonder Woman from the New 52, sort of like the reboot series. This one's called Blood. And that's just because I love Wonder Woman and I wanted to read like a female-led comic book. And that was also really good. I have the second one. I haven't started it yet, but I'm excited to get through those too.
Awesome. I think the guy who writes Hawkeye, does he write with his wife? Is that the same guy?
They do some other things. I don't think she was involved with
Captain. Is it Captain Marvel or something like that? Or whatever the one that they do, there's a female one that they do, because there was a huge article about them in Entertainment Weekly last week. That's why I'm mentioning it, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was the same guy.
Is
so
it?
So I think that's really cool.
Could it be Miss Marvel?
Miss Marvel.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Miss Marvel.
She does the Captain Marvel series, and he does Hawkeye, and they're married. So
yeah, okay,
adorable.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
yeah,
that is adorable.
Because there was like this huge article in Entertainment Weekly, I think it was, on them and how like they're the reading couple of comic books and stuff. So I thought that was really cool. Anyway, total side note there. But Merima, why don't you go ahead and fill us in on what you've been reading?
I have had a very busy week, so I haven't really had any time to read much things, many things, like speak English for fun. But I did read, I did a quick reread of Saving Francesca and The Piper's Son by love of my life, Melina Marchetta. And they're still great, guys. Just checking in every so often. Yep, they're still excellent. So everyone should read those.
I love that. Like, I just wanted to make sure, reassure myself that they were as good as I remembered, and they are.
Yeah, they're definitely as good. And if anyone, I haven't like, you know, talked about Melina Marchetta for a while, so everyone read them. They're like the best books ever. These two are companion books to each other. So Saving Francesca is like a YA, definitely. They're like 17. And The Piper's Son, I mean, it's, you know, it's like one of those interesting ones that most people would consider YA, except it's kind of about like early 20s. So then you would call it new adult, but like there isn't gratuitous sex scenes in it. So it's like, how do you classify this? they're both excellent. So just read them. I enjoy them a lot.
All right. Well, for me, I have not had a lot of time to read this week either. But I got a book in the mail on Friday, and it was The Zodiac Legacy, and it's by Stan Lee and Stuart Moore with artwork by Andy Tong. It's Stan Lee's newest kind of adventure into to writing. And so it's really cool. It's put out by Disney Hyperion. It comes out at the end of the month. And so far, I really like it. It has a really big comic book vibe to it. It is a full-length novel. It's over 300 pages, but it's got artwork by Andy Tong interspersed throughout the whole thing. And it follows the story of a Chinese-American teen who is visiting China on a field trip, and he doesn't feel Chinese, and he doesn't always feel American, and he's kind of like the typical odd man out kind of guy, and some things happen, and he harnesses the power of one of the zodiac signs. He harnesses the power of the tiger. And so it's about how these 12 superpowers of the zodiac have been unleashed in the world. And some people that have them are obviously supervillains, and other people that have them are normal kids who now what do they do with themselves. So it's pretty cool so far. I really like it. It definitely feels like a Marvel Universe story. Do you know what I mean? Like, it has that very authentic Stan Lee feel where, you know, radioactive spiders or whatever that makes them special pops up. So it's cool. I like it so far. So that's, excuse me. That's
Sounds
all I've
fun.
Read this week. It is pretty fun. So pretty excited to get back to reading that. So this week for our Book Bites, there was the Times Top 100 Best Young Adult Novels of like all time. Now, did you guys have time to go like flip through the list real quick? Because they didn't actually like list them. You actually have to flip through a gallery and look at each image. It's super annoying. But did you guys have time to look through them yet?
No, yeah. There's not time for that. Oh, well, I don't have time for that.
I was literally clicking through it as you asked me. Have you had time to click through it? It's
You're
so
like,
obnoxious,
yes,
though. The gallery is cheating.
I know. The gallery is really okay. Anyway, so as you're perhaps flipping through this right now, do you guys notice that a lot of these books are not what we would consider young adult books?
I think to summarize this list, I would say that it's terrible. I think that would be an accurate summary
yeah,
of this list.
It's weird. Like, it's Time Magazine. They, you know, they usually do pretty thorough research and whatnot, but like in this, I don't know. They're saying that they used a bunch of like people who are in the know about young adult books. They compiled a survey in consultation with respect to peers, meaning people, adults who are like in groups that work with young adult books, such as the U.S. Children's Poet Laureate, Ken Nesbitt, children's book historian Leonard Marcus, the National Center for Children's Illustrated Literature, the Young Readers Center at the Library of Congress, and Every Child a Reader Literacy Foundation, and then 10 independent booksellers.
Right,
I,
but
honestly,
that's the problem. Like,
I know, that was my point.
Young adult books and not children's books. If you're consulting with children's book experts, then you're not going to get a young adult list. Like, that seems fairly obvious to me.
Right. And that's why when I read it, I was like, wait a minute. And then I started flipping through it. I'm like, wait a minute. So I don't know why, because they have 100 best children's book list as well. So they have two separate lists, one for children, one for young adult. But the young adult one is primarily populated by books that are middle grade at best. I mean,
right.
There are very few actual young adults. I mean, at best, there's a lot of children's books like Charlotte's Web and Holes. We teach that here in like elementary, middle school. Like,
there are also books that are not young adult, like The Lord of the Rings by no stretch is a young
right,
adult book.
Right,
The Book Hobbit. Thief has only been sold as a young adult book in America, nowhere else in the world. So,
right.
You know, there are a lot of things on here that you're like, I don't think you quite understand the concept of like the category that you are talking about.
Right.
Also, there's only 7 authors who aren't white on the list I'm reading, on like an article criticizing it. So that's obviously a problem. But the reason that has happened is because it's literally like so many of these books are, you know, not from this century. Most of them are not from this century.
Right. There's a lot of them are incredibly old. And it just, a lot of them, like, even like as a teacher, we teach these books to much younger children. We would not teach these to your typical target young adult, which is high school. So it's a little confusing to me how they thought this was a great list.
Right. I think this is, like, once again,
young adult books.
Sorry, this is once again, like, one of those situations where people who don't know what young adult is are writing about young adult, which just happens, like, all the time on the internet. Mm-hmm. And you know, things like this used to frustrate me. And like you said, you would hope with time, if they're doing the research, they would actually, you know, attempt to get some of this right. But I've just come to accept, like, all of these people are morons, and I don't need to read their articles because it just makes me really mad. So that's what I'm taking away from this. and that's great. It's been a great experience so far.
You're like, and we're moving on. So Karen, what about you? Any comments or thoughts about this?
I mean, basically the same thing. It does get frustrating that people can't differentiate YA, especially considering what a huge market that is right now and how everybody and their brother seems to be reading YA, and yet nobody can come to terms with the fact that it's a really sort of important category of books. I mean, a lot of really amazing series have come out of it and really blown up. I mean, they did get a bunch of things right. You know, I think it was important, obviously, have like Harry Potter on there, but even like Percy Jackson, I consider middle grade. Hunger Games is a good one to have on there too. So definitely hit and miss. I'm sort of like Marima. It used to frustrate me, but I kind of just accept the fact that people usually don't get it right anymore, or never did, rather.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's been, you know, they've gotten it right yet. So some of the highlights from the list, just so everyone is aware, are Harry Potter, Looking for Alaska, Book Thief, The Fault in Our Stars, Percy Jackson, The Hunger Games, Twilight, interestingly, and Earthsea by Ursula Le Guin. So I think that those are fairly accurate representations. And then after that, the list gets really kind of all over the place. So something to think about as you're reading through the list and checking things out like that. All right, so let's get on with our topic of discussion for this week, which is book promotions. I think a lot of us, because we're on the internet often and we talk to a lot of publishing houses and authors and stuff, we see a lot of book promotion. We hear about a lot of book promotion. And so it's really interesting to see what's out there for book promotion. And it's even more interesting to see what people actually like and don't like. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we like and we don't like. And you guys, of course, can chime in on the post and on Twitter. And we will definitely talk about some of the things that you as readers like and don't like next week. We'll mention them. So just send them to us as you think about them. Or if you have thoughts about some of the things that we're saying, please chime in. So, Marima, are there some things that you do and don't like about book promotion?
Honestly, I'm going to like be a conversation killer, but I don't really think about it. And I'm one of those super boring people that like, I just read the blurb and then I make a decision based off that.
Okay. What if a blurb compares it to like the hottest authors out there? How do you feel about that?
Well, like it bothers me somewhat, but I understand that's just someone trying to do their job, like trying to tap into an existing market. I think unless the promotion is really obnoxious, then I don't really mind what they do. You know what I mean? Like it's when, like we said, I mean, you know, like we get emails from publicists and that's great. And we get sent a lot of books to read and check out. And that's great. Like, you know, when I get like 25 press releases about a book, like I'm less inclined to read it than if I get one or two. And so I think like I go the other way. It's not so much things that they do or promotional campaigns that like really interest me. It's just that I get put off by them if it's like too intense. Otherwise I'll just, you know, I'll like check out the blurb, and if it sounds interesting, like I'll read it, and if it doesn't, I probably won't read it. And that's kind of my system, so perhaps it needs improving on, and I can learn from you guys today.
So everything about book promotion is in the blurb for Marima. I like it. It's simple. I like it. I enjoy it.
I'm good with that. I also still have to have a good blur, but there are other things that I don't know. Just because I think we come across them so much and I see them and I'm like, oh, that's interesting, or oh, no. So, Karen, how about you? What are some of the things that you like about book promotion?
I like it when they go outside the box and they do something different. I mean, anyone can write up a press release or put together like a book trailer. But I think that when they do something really different that kind of intertwines with what's going on with the story, that could be really fun and interactive for people. So I like short stories and tie-in novels that kind of go between a series to kind of like keep you going. Brandon Sanderson just did that with the short story Mitosis between Steelheart and Firefight, and that was really cool. And I also like it when they promote like fan stuff. Like I've seen some authors retweeting like jewelry that somebody has made inspired by the book. And that's not necessarily like a marketing ploy, but still people get invested in what the author is doing. And if the author is going out and looking for this stuff that goes with their book made by fans, that's something that really draws me to the author as a person and makes me invested in them.
No, I agree. I think that's a really cool one because I think what's really important is knowing an author is interested in their readership and not just about, well, here's my book. I think it's really important that there's a connection there to some level, especially in the day and age that we live in. I know, you know, way back when there wasn't internet and social media, that wasn't necessarily a marketing strategy. It didn't necessarily matter as much, but because of technology and the way people are so much more accessible, there is an element of connectivity between people now and an author, especially, that I think needs to be there. So I definitely see that point. And I do love little short stories and novellas, especially novellas that look at side characters that we won't necessarily get a whole point of view from or something in a book.
Yes.
But you get a little bit more about who they are in a little short story. Like, I think that's such a great way to keep connection and to maybe give fans what they're, well, you know, something that they really want without having to like deviate from your story or create an entirely new book. So I think that's a really cool option. I think giveaways can be really cool, especially for people. You know, not everyone is going to be in an area where there's an author with a book signing or that can, you know, get access to different kinds of merch and stuff. So I think giveaways are always great, especially, you know, a couple of times we've done really big giveaways and people who have won have like are so excited to get something signed by their favorite author, or it's just one of those things that's like really cool. It's a really cool opportunity. So I like those, especially if they're fun giveaways. I think those are really entertaining, especially if there's like signed books involved or signed merch or something like that.
Yeah.
Giveaways that just have like stickers and stuff though, I'm like, it's going to cost you more to put that in the mail than it is to like, I don't know. So those are kind of, I find those a little bit odd, but just in general, giveaways I think are a good thing.
I also like it when they send books out to reviewers and stuff with like something with it. Jen, I'm sure you come across this a lot more than I do, but sometimes
they have no idea what you're talking about.
Sometimes they can be really clever. Like I got a book not that long ago and it was something about like drowning and I don't know, but they sent a little like blow up what do you call it,
like a raft?
Yeah, not a raft, but like a ball.
A beach ball.
Yeah, and it was like, oh haha, you know, I get the joke. And yeah, I can see where if you get those all the time it would be like, I don't need all this random crap, but I think that's interesting. Didn't The Fifth Wave do something like that too when it first came out?
I got an entire backpack of things for The Fifth Wave.
Like, that's so cool.
For the apocalypse. Yeah, and they do that a lot. There are a lot of things like that. Or there's some really cool packaging that comes out. Like The Red Queen, which is coming out next month, and Myra and I talked about this last week. It had really cool packaging. Like, it had, like, this over cover when I got it.
Let me tell you a secret. They don't do that stuff as much in Australia. No, I'm serious. Because, like, like I do, you know, every so often they do it with something, you know, like I can't even think now. What was the most? That book that they sent me that was covered in the post-it notes. That's like the most recent one.
All the Bright Places. All the Bright Places, yes. Which we'll be reading next week for our book review episode.
And I will explain the post-it notes after like Karen has read it. I'll explain like, you know, what that meant. But you know, like every so often they send something with it, or like they send like chocolates and tissues if it's gonna be like a sad book, or you know, like whatever. But they don't do that stuff as much here. And I think, and this is just me like making it up, but I think it's because first of all, like that stuff is expensive. And also because I guess it's like a smaller market here.
Right.
And so in a way, like a lot of these books, they go to bloggers and people who have like, you know, popular like Instagram accounts or whatever, you know, like those kinds of people versus like an actual reviewer. And like, not that there's anything wrong with that. Like, I think that's if we're talking about things we like, that's an interesting way of engaging an audience, is to like kind of reach out more to fans versus like your typical reviewer. But because of that, I think they try and cut down some money on like the promotional stuff, because I think, were you saying, Jen, like people, they get really excited about those kinds of things. So like a book blogger who gets sent a free book is going to be excited about it, like regardless of what the book is or what it comes with, versus like a reviewer who gets sent like 10 books a week. You need something to differentiate that book from the others, you know? So
yeah, no, that's definitely.
That's why I have my system, guys, because like I don't get like, I get a lot of books, but they do not come generally with like accompanying things. So like, you know, there aren't most of the promotional things are like online campaigns, not things that would like arrive with the book. So that's why I have to read the blurb, unfortunately. It requires an extra step for me, which I'm not pleased with, but there we go.
Well, I read the blurb even if I get cool stuff with it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just kidding.
So yeah. No, I know. So there's lots of cool stuff like that. I also like it when they do some really fun online campaigns that are different. Lots of times they'll interact with lots of blogs. So like maybe one website will have one, you know, bit of information, or like they'll do chapter reveals and there'll be a chapter on a website per day. So you'll get like the first 7 chapters, but it'll be like one chapter a day. I always think that releasing a chapter or a couple chapters is really cool, because it gives people a vibe for the book. So this way you don't just have the blurb on the back. Because the blurb is really interesting and it gives you kind of the snapshot of the book, but what it doesn't give you is like the feel of how it's written, and those couple of chapters do that. So I always think that's a really good thing too.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like I'm super boring. I don't know. I'm just, no, you know what? Right. I am realizing what the problem is, and like this might sound funny considering like what my job is, but in a way I'm not that, I don't kind of keep up with a lot of this stuff online, if that makes sense. Like I like check in to see like what's popular and what people are talking about, and I guess like various campaigns, promotional campaigns, have a level of influence on those discussions. But I kind of this is why we always have this problem when you ask Jen like, oh, what are people most looking forward to that's coming up, and like I never really know what's coming up because like I don't really look. And that's the same thing. I don't really look for this stuff, or I don't know. I'm like not in that circle. I have removed myself from that circle. So that's why, you know, like I become aware of things when they like turn up in my mailbox.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this looks interesting, or whatever, or it doesn't look interesting. You know, mm-hmm. Both of those things occur. So yeah, I don't know.
All right then. Well,
I've just become like a performance review for myself. That's what this has become, like a lot of self-reflection. I apologize.
Yeah, there you go. It's all good. It's all good. So let's talk about maybe some of the things that we don't like as much. And I know there are a couple things for me that I'm like, I don't really get it. And I want to, and I think they're a good idea, but I don't understand, like the book trailer. I think for me, if a book trailer isn't connected to the book in some way, I don't get it. And there's a couple, like, I've seen some where I'm like, I don't know why I'm watching this. I don't know what this is about. And then I'll read the book and I'll be like, but wait, that didn't have anything to do with the book. Or it wasn't enough of a connection for me. So I think book trailers are a very cool idea when they can somehow connect directly to the book. You know, you've got to really make a solid connection in order for it to be, I think, beneficial. Otherwise, it can just be misleading. So how do you guys feel about book trailers?
I don't really get them either, to tell you the truth. You have written in here, they don't really do anything for you. And I feel right. The exact same way. Like, I don't hate them, I guess, but they don't do anything for me. And I guess the one exception is there was a book trailer for this random book that I found called Cold Calls. And it was really good because it had a lot to do with the book, and it was sort of creepy and sinister, just like the book mm-hmm. was, and the tone just fit it really well. But a lot of times I feel like book trailers are just kind of cheesy, and I think they need to be of a higher quality to really do anything for me, and I just don't mm-hmm. find that a lot.
Right.
I would agree. And also, I don't understand the point of book trailers, because it's like the wrong medium. You know, it's never made sense to me to have a book trailer, a trailer for a book. Like, that seems, I don't know. So, because it's not a visual medium in that way. You know, it's not like a TV show or a movie. It's right. a totally different experience. There's no way a trailer is going to be able to capture what it is like, the reading experience of the book. So the most that it can do is hopefully impart like some level of plot or character interest. And mm-hmm. like you said, I feel like maybe that is often not conveyed. Also, there's this trend recently towards book trailers used to basically be like PowerPoint slideshows with quotes and like some kind of background music. And
yes.
In a way, I kind of prefer that. There's this new trend towards casting real actors in the roles.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I don't like. And, you know, like the biggest ones are the Bloodlines trailers, and they're filmed in Australia, but like they get released overseas as well. And they've cast a Sydney and an Adrian, and like they come back every book and they film like a set of trailers, and, you know, and people love them. Like the fans of those books die for the trailers, but that's always seemed kind of strange to me. I don't know. Because, like, the idea of it being, you know, it's like a book with a movie tie-in cover, you know, like the idea of, like, this is what these characters look like, or this is how these characters act. And, you know, like, if
I think
you're
being
cast in a book trailer.
Like them so much.
Right. If you're being cast in a book trailer, like, you know, you might be an up-and-coming actor or whatever, but you're no Jennifer Lawrence. So it's often, like, a little awkward and a little stilted.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think what's really funny is that some fans really become attached to the people on the covers of the books, like for the Bloodlines
yeah.
series. Or the other series was Jennifer L. Armentrout's The Onyx Obsidian, that series. The male cover model was, like, doing interviews, and I'm like, what? I don't understand. And the same thing with the guy that was on the cover of, was it Kate Lauren, the Fallen series? He used to show up at places, and I'm like, I don't understand. You're a model,
right?
Like, not in a bad way, just I don't understand your connection mm-hmm. to the
yeah.
book world kind of thing. Like, it kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah, those actors in the Bloodlines trailers, like, they go to events and things, and people get them
right.
to sign their books. And, like, you know, I understand that to an extent, but then at the same time, it makes zero sense to me. Because,
right.
like you said, what do you kind of have to do? They're so far removed from the process of, like, the actual book,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're like,
yeah.
I don't really get, like, how does this extend to you?
Right.
But, yeah, I think most book trailers are, like, pretty obnoxious.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, I also find it really awkward when they always have the actors' faces in the trailers, like, in shadow, or you never see the front of them. It's only from behind, and it's sort of the same thing for me as, like, you know, all those girl covers where, like, half her head is chopped off. I feel like it's the same thing, and it's just, like, I don't know why they had to do it in that way. And I get maybe not wanting to reveal the face of a character and put a face in, like, the readers' heads, but it's just weird. Don't do it.
Right. Well, I think
yeah.
that's part of it. And the other part is, what if your actor doesn't match the person you've put on your cover? So then right. you have to have, do you know what I mean? So like there's all kinds of things that go into that. So.
And also like a lot of and most book covers, they're not photos taken especially for that book cover. Like
no,
they come
no.
from a gallery of images. Yeah, they're all stock images that are edited or whatever. So yeah, you may not have someone who looks exactly like your character. And yeah.
I don't know. Another topic under the what we don't like. This came from Ariana, who also works at Hypebeable with us. She tweeted at us and was like, I don't like book covers that have just big girls in poofy dresses on them that have absolutely nothing to do with the story. Or girls who are white and the characters aren't on the inside of the book. And I think those are all very valid points. I hate nothing more than picking up a book and having the cover have absolutely nothing to do with the content of the book. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, there's zero connection between what I'm looking at and what is in the cover of the book. It's so misleading on so many levels. I know, don't judge a book by its cover, but
well, I mean,
let's face it, we're all visual.
Yeah, confession time. I definitely judge a book by its cover because I'm drawn to really bright, really, it's probably bad, but like the over-edited ones that just like there's so much going on in the cover. I just really like them because there's so much to look at. And if I'm like, oh, this looks amazing, and I flip it over and it has literally nothing to do with it, it's like, well, I'm definitely not going to read this book. Or I don't always read back covers. Like, if a book is recommended to me, I usually don't, just so I can jump in without knowing anything. And that can be a disappointment, too, if you're given a book and you're like, this is not at all what I thought it was going to be about.
I hate covers with people on them. Like, any cover with a person on it, with a photo of a person. I just hate them. I don't know why. I guess it's that thing about, like, I don't want to be told what these characters are like or, you know. And also, they always look really tacky. So they just look like bad model shoots, which most of them are because they're stock images of bad model shoots. But, yeah, also for, like, those reasons you said, they often don't have anything to do with the story. And they're, like, these really awkward in shadow photos, and they're always white, and like the characters are not necessarily to match, and or you get like the decapitated girl, like the headless girl thing, which yeah. I hate so much. But I you know, like Karen, you're saying what you are attracted to, like in a book cover, I always prefer you know, some kind of illustration or like a very kind of graphic, like even Grasshopper Jungle, that cover uh-huh. is just like,
yeah,
it's just a fluorescent green book with Grasshopper Jungle on it, and then like the, you know, antenna or whatever they are on a grasshopper on it, like I love that cover because it's just like bold and it's bright and like it gets your attention. And it doesn't have to be like these really over the top, overdone things. And I guess I notice it more because like my process of just read the blurb, just look at the actual book is really, that's seriously, like when I go into a bookstore, I just like look around and see what is interesting to me. And, you know, a lot of that is like visually what grabs me. And I am, you know, I don't know, statistically that I just made up, like 90% less likely to pick up a book if it has a picture of someone's face on it or like a decapitated model on it or something, you know. It's just that I just find that off-putting.
Well, I just, yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think the more recent trend of girls in ridiculous ball gowns on the cover of every book known to man is really hard because I think it kind of pigeonholes the book into being a girly book. Even if the book isn't necessarily, it kind of gets locked in that place. And then you're not going to get a teenage boy to pick up a book with a girl in a dress on the cover. It is not likely to happen. So I think that that's another thing with book covers, is that if it's not done right, then it becomes really challenging to get it into the hands of readers who might actually like it.
Right. I think actually that's something that actually does frustrate me about promotional campaigns. And it's this this desire by publishers, and I like, again, I understand they're just trying to do their job, but this desire to classify books as either boy books or girl books, like I hate that so much. And I don't think there is such thing as like a boy book or a girl book. But like you said, covers especially have such a big impact on that and on like the market and the kind of promotion that they're going to receive. And yeah, that's super frustrating. So like everything ties into that. The covers, the blurbs, like the kind of promotional campaigns that they're doing. I find that genuinely frustrating.
Totally get it. Alrighty. So is there anything else that you guys maybe don't like so much when it comes to promotion?
Oh, I do. There are.
Oh, bring it on, Karen.
I follow a lot of authors, and granted, on Twitter, and granted, a lot of them are self-pub authors, so it's a little bit different, I think. But people who only tweet or, you know, Facebook anything about their books, nothing else. It's like a link and like a little quick sentence about it, and they don't interact with their readers is so frustrating, because as a reader, I want to invest in the person, not the product. I think products can be replaced a lot easier than people can. And if you really like a person, you're going to feel loyal to them and you're going to continue to buy their books. And if you tweet at me an Amazon link every day, I'm less likely to be invested in you than somebody who asks questions of the readers and interacts with them and promotes fan works like I was talking about before. So I see a lot of that whole like, oh, buy my book, it just got 5 stars, blah, 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 all the time. And I just get so sick of it.
Right. Yeah. I definitely
preach.
Feel that. We're all like, yep.
I feel like in a way, some of that is due to like this pressure on authors to be involved in social media now. You know, like if you're not on social media, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot in terms of promotion. But like you said, it's always better to kind of build up an audience of like interested, engaged readers who are, you know, like the author or, you know, want to talk about the book or like other things. You know, I always like when authors promote other people's books. I find that endearing when they're like, hey, I read this great book that I think other people should read. And then I'll be like, oh, that was nice. I mean, I don't know. Does that make me more inclined to buy the original author's book? I don't know, but I like it anyway. So people should do it. But that does break up the like onslaught of self-promotion.
But I think it also kind of gives you the sense that they don't just sit and write books all day, and that it's not their interactions aren't solely about the book. They're,
right.
You know, it's a key example of they're involved in like the world of young adult or new adult or adult books or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? So they're connecting and letting you know something, things that maybe they really liked because they're out there reading too, and they think their readers might enjoy it. So it's a nice way to connect.
Yeah, even if they're pretending, I like the illusion that they are involved in the young adult community.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what a lot of it is showing a connection to the community of readers. You know what I mean? So when people bring up stuff about, you know, we need diverse books, and they talk about it on Twitter and they talk intelligently about it and don't just kind of make this one-off statement to kind of be involved in the movement, but to actually talk about it, I think that those things are really important. And people pay more attention to the authors that are doing that sort of thing than the ones that are just tweeting, you know, their Amazon links. I think that there's a drastic difference between the two parties. So I definitely agree. That was a good one, Karen. A very
Thank
good
you.
One.
I really
good
like
job,
it.
Good job, Karen.
Thank you. Making my debut back strong. I really like it when authors, like, don't even talk about books, or they just talk about regular stuff. Like, I just hopped on Melissa Marr's Twitter, and one of the things she said was Chaos, which I guess is like her nickname for her son or daughter, one of them, just spoon-fed her a cup of coffee. She's half caffeinated and completely soggy. Like, that has nothing to do with her books at all, but it makes her more of a real person, and you kind of get a glimpse into her life. And I think that could be really exciting if you're really invested in her stories.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of that comes from, you know, just, again, that it's that connection to knowing that they're human in a lot of ways. You know, they're not just a product, that they're people, and that they have things going on in their life too. I think it comes down to connection and how that works out. Like, for example, when I went to Rick Riordan's, the last signing that he had, he is a genuinely entertaining and engaging guy. And I hadn't really heard him speak before. So when he got up there and started talking, and he's talking about Doctor Who, and he's talking about all these other things that are really funny and, you know, his family and stuff, it was very engaging and enjoyable because you kind of feel like you get to know him a little bit better and you understand how and why he designs his characters the way he does. There's something about knowing him in that sense that you kind of then see it translated into the work as well. So.
Right. And there's a reason why when he gets up on stage, people go nuts and it's like he's a rock star. And it's exactly right. Because of that.
This is true. So, yeah. So I don't know. Do you guys have anything else that you can think of? No.
No, just to write better blurbs. Please and thank you.
Marima just needs some better blurbs, that is all.
And nicer covers.
All right. Yeah, it's really the covers. Oh. Anyway, so we're going to move on and we're going to talk about some of the recent book deals that have just come out. There are a couple interesting ones. Actually, there are two book deals and then there's one kind of page to screen thing that's coming up. So the first one is that Crown Books for Young Readers has acquired an anthology of stories from the We Need Diverse Book group that, if you guys recall, last year when BookCon came about, there was this huge outcry because none of the authors involved were authors of diversity. They were all, you know, basically white authors. So there was this huge push, and for anyone who was at BookCon, you know that you couldn't get near that panel because it was psychotic. Like, there were so many people in on the We Need Diverse Books campaign, and it was just, it was crazy. And it's kind of come full circle because We Need Diverse Books is now going to co-host BookCon this year. So BookCon will be the two full days this year on Saturday and Sunday. And they will be co-hosted by We Need Diverse Books. So there should be some really interesting authors there and a lot of great things happening. So Ellen O, who was kind of the co-founder and president of We Need Diverse Books, is editing a anthology of short stories. And they're going to include stories from, let me try to find all of them, Sherman Alexie, Jacqueline Woodson, Kwame Alexander. And that's just a couple. And there'll be a lot of others involved in that, including Walter Dean Myers, who just passed away this last July. So this would be one of the last stories that he wrote. So it'll be really interesting to see what comes out of that book. I think it'll be really a lot of really great stories involved. So what do you guys think about that one?
Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of short stories, but like I would definitely read this.
Yeah. And the next one is David Levithan. He is the editor. He's the chief editor at Scholastic, in case anyone didn't know that. I think everyone knows that. And he's also an author, obviously. But he picked up a new middle grade book called George. And it's a debut by Alex Gino. And George tells the story of a girl whom the world identifies as a boy. So it's basically a gender issues book, and they're calling it groundbreaking. So we shall see when it comes out. And it says, when Gino's heroine is not cast in the lead role of a fourth grade production of Charlotte's Web, she decides to reveal her true identity. So it's set in a very young middle grade world. So it's set in fourth grade. And I think it'll be interesting. I think that's going to be a book that's going to, especially given all the things that have been going on lately in the media, with transgender and gender identity and all of those things, I think that book will be really interesting and timely in a lot of ways. So that is set for the fall of 2015.
Good. I can't wait till like the book banning campaign starts, or it may have already.
I'm sure it will eventually, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that it's a really relevant book. I can see a lot of issues at libraries too, because even though libraries don't typically ban books, I can definitely see it being one of those things where there's kind of an uproar.
But yeah, because your country is crazy and full of crazy people.
Well,
thanks.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the level, the commitment to book banning that like you have in America is unheard of in the rest of the world. But like, power to you guys. You really commit to something when you do it. That sounds cool, though.
We don't.
I would read it. I mean, not you
I commit
specifically.
To everybody like, reading whatever they want. Have at
like
it.
You as a society.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Yeah.
The royal you. All
yeah.
of you. No, I get
yeah.
it. So, yeah, again, I think it'll be interesting. And I think it's, again, a very timely topic given all of that discussion that's in the media right now. And then the last one is a page to screen kind of note. And it's Teresa Ann Fowler's best-selling novel, Z, A Novel of Zelda Fitzgerald, has been optioned by Amazon Studios. Now, Amazon Studios is kind of like all over the place right now with their own content for video and movie. So I think that's really interesting that they've picked up a book adaptation. And it looks like it would be a series and that Christina Ricci is set to produce. So I don't know if that means she's also set to like star or if she's just going to produce it. So I thought that was really interesting that they are now picking up more and more items because Netflix, as we know, is killing it in this department. So I wonder if Amazon will start cultivating its own shows based more on books because it clearly has a connection there.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Has anyone read this?
I have not.
Me neither.
I've like intentionally not read it. Like I've seen it floating around and I have avoided it. So
like, I was very purposeful in my avoidance.
Yeah, I was 100%. So I'm not like super excited about this being adapted, but it's, yeah, like you said, it's interesting to see Amazon being the one who are picking it up. So that's
yeah.
cool. Like see what else they do.
Yeah. It feels like they're kind of going to start the original programming. Cause like I said, Netflix right now is dominating in original programming. They have so many really great things. And they'll have more things because they have the whole Marvel Universe deal that they have coming up, starting with Daredevil. So I think in order for Amazon to combat that, they have to start getting their own programming that's a little bit more successful and stuff. So,
well, don't Amazon do Transparent? Like, isn't that one of theirs?
Yes, that is one of
Which
theirs.
Which is like,
so clearly they're winning
picked
at
up
life
these
with
Golden
that
Globes.
One.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
that one they
did. Expanding.
Right. They obviously are going to expand. So I don't know. I just thought it was a really interesting thing. It'd be interesting to see if Amazon picks up more books to kind of make into their own original programming or not and see how that works out. Because I don't know. It's one of those things that it seems like it would fit given what Amazon, you know, basically does. You know, everyone is kind of addicted to the books on Amazon. That's, you know, most people have Kindles or some sort of e-reader where they pick up Kindle books or they buy books from Amazon because it's less expensive. It seems kind of one of those things where it's a connection for Amazon because they do have a lot of book things.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. No,
yeah.
Like, well, it, not in terms of it being Amazon. Like, it makes sense to me because that is the way that, like, TV production and like media is being consumed now is like these online
right.
Companies rather than like on someone's television. And like, didn't Netflix pick up a series of unfortunate events last
yes.
year, I want to say?
Yes,
so,
they did.
You know, it's obviously like moving in this direction, and I'm surprised Netflix haven't like picked up more, honestly, but I guess they're fairly choosy with their programming.
Right.
So yeah, like this does not surprise me at all. It makes sense.
Well, I think part of why Netflix hasn't picked up more is because they do have four coming from Marvel. So I think that's kind of where their focus is at the moment, probably. But yeah, totally get it. Anyway, so again, as a reminder, next week our episode will be about All the Bright Places by Jennifer Nevin. That will be our book review book for this month. We will let you know what our book review book for February is going to be. We kind of talked about it, but we have to decide. And so next week, we'll let you know what that will be. All right. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.